What's up, everybody? This is Taking Action Today with Michael Alder, Episode 2. Let's market some properties. All right, everybody, thanks for listening in. Today, I'm super excited. I got a good friend of mine named Emmerich Herbst. He's an absolute killer in the Cleveland real estate market. You wouldn't know it, though. This dude does not brag. He's not a showboater, but he runs everything in the Cleveland market, and everybody knows it. He's done several turnkey cash flow deals. We were out to dinner recently, and I think he was up around the 50 property mark just for this year is flipping properties. So what's up, Emmerich? Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Mike? I'm glad to be here.
Excellent, excellent. So let's dive right into this. Last time we were out together, I think you were in the high 40s for your flips.
Yeah, it was somewhere around that mark, but it's a little bit higher now because that was a few weeks ago.
Excellent. So how does one start flipping 40-some properties a year?
It's a lot of work. A lot of looking at property, a lot of making offers, and a lot of wheeling and dealing.
That's it. Now, as far as your marketing strategy, because, I mean, you know, 40-some properties, that has got to be a lot of marketing. Can you share with everybody some of your techniques that you're bringing these buyers in for your homes?
Some of the best marketing techniques I've used are through the internet, advertising through Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. I do a lot of online marketing, and that attracts buyers from all over the world.
Excellent, excellent. So the types of properties you're currently doing, tell me about that right now and how that's working out for you.
Okay. What I do right now is I specialize in turnkey investment property that I market towards other real estate investors who are looking to buy a property that's up and running, cash flowing, and they don't have to deal with any maintenance issues or anything like that. I buy the property, rehab it, put the tenant in, set it up with the buyer, with the new management company, and they're cash flowing from day one.
Now, speaking of management companies, we've all had different experiences with management companies. Can you give any insight on how to find a good management company to take care of these cash flow properties?
Well, it takes a little bit of research, probably calling other property investors in the area, finding out who they're using, find out who's got the bad reputation, and start from there. And hopefully you'll luck out and find that guy who actually cares about the tenants and is going to keep your properties rented.
Right. Not pocket your cash and run on you.
That's right. Because we all know that repairs dip into the profits.
That's the biggest problem. Yeah. I agree. So how many years have you been a real estate investor?
It's coming up just about 19 years now.
And did you go to school for this, or how'd you get started?
I got my feet wet when I lived in Florida. I joined the local real estate investment club, and it's all history from there. All the guys in that club helped me get through the beginning paces of it, and I learned everything from them, and that's where it all started.
So you learned from a real estate investment club and not a guru that you gave 15 grand to on a late night infomercial?
That's true.
I wish I knew you back then, because I dove right into that goodness.
I did a lot of networking with the best people in the club, and they took me under their wing and showed me how to do it.
Excellent. So moving over 40 plus properties this year, where are you getting money for all this? Are you just born wealthy? Did you doing super creative financing? What are we into here?
I wish I was born wealthy, but no. Using local hard money lenders, private money from friends and family, and even sometimes owner financing.
All right. Now, you know I'm a hard money junkie as well, but why don't you break it down for everybody out there? Because anytime I say hard money, they think Uncle Tony's going to come by and break my legs if I don't pay him. So why don't you give all the listeners a rundown about hard money and what's good about it?
Sure. It's a private lender who's willing to lend you money on a piece of property that you're looking to buy, and it's secured by that piece of property. They charge a higher interest rate, but it's all based on the equity of the home, because normal banks won't lend on that piece of property because it usually needs work or it's not loanable in their terms. And the hard money lender, you know, they're a little bit easier to work with, but you got to be careful.
Right, right. It's definitely a business that you need to be disciplined, because you are using other people's money. Would you recommend a newbie going out and borrowing hard money?
As long as they understand what they're getting into.
All right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, they have to understand the points that are involved, which is a percentage of the loan amount that you're about to borrow, what the terms of the loan are. A lot of terms are only 6 months long. Some are 12 months. And you got to have the biggest part is to have an exit plan at the end of that, during that term that you have that loan, because that money's expensive. The longer you have it, the more it comes out of your pocket.
No, I agree. And I think that's one of the bigger problems out there is everybody dives into real estate thinking that it's an easy button. And you either buy this program and you buy houses and you're instant millionaire. And actually, when I was younger, that was exactly the way I thought. And you met me when I was younger and you knew I crashed and burned quick because I was just buying whatever I could thinking I was going to be some passive cash flow millionaire instantly. So, I think people do need to understand their exit strategies before they even get in. Could you recommend a couple tips for the new guy that's ready to dive in? What he needs to do to analyze an exit strategy on the property?
Talk to other investors, find out what their buyers lists are. Maybe give them a finder's fee if they can unload the property for you when it's all finished. There's also, you can create a buyer's list if you're going to do the retail end. Market at your property before you even have the property. Get a feel for the market, who's going to give you a call. And you can start running deal with a mortgage broker and have them run the credit. And that way you'll have an idea of what you're getting into before you get the property, of what the market's like.
Excellent. I'm glad you mentioned building a buyer's list. So how can a guy or a gal getting into this begin to get a buyer's list ready before they even purchase the property without upsetting any local investors? I know we've talked about this plenty of times.
It's just get out there, go to your local real estate clubs. That's a great way to meet other investors, to get a buyer's list. Go through the ad on Craigslist or the newspaper and find out who's buying the little ads that say, "We buy houses cash." Call them, let them know what you're doing. Ask them if it's okay if you forward them properties that you may be acquiring, if they're interested in that certain areas and so forth. And, work it that way. A lot of marketing is involved.
Right. And never stopping, because, I think everybody gets discouraged right away with their marketing. And they give up too soon because they say this just doesn't work. And then they go back to their chump job and they're totally dissatisfied with life. Something I wanted to touch base on, though, is you said call the people that say we buy houses cash. And you and I both know some of those guys are the real players out there and some of them are dead end leads. Are there a couple questions you could think of to ask these guys that would help you determine if they're a real cash buyer or if they're just somebody else just kind of kicking tires and going to end up wasting your time on the back end?
Sure. You can always just ask a few questions. How many deals have you done? Where are they at? How are you finding your deals? Do you have access to the houses? If they don't have access to the house, they're not the real player.
Good call. Yeah, we've all been through that one. That and just asking them if they take title personally. Right. Yeah, then you could determine if they're a wholesaler or not. And then if they are a wholesaler, that's fine. But you got to make sure this person knows how to market and is going to help you get your deal closed out.
Absolutely. Otherwise, you're just spinning your wheels.
Right. You get discouraged and then you quit, which is not what we want around here.
No.
So if someone were to come to you, Emmerich, and they had a property for sale, what are your guidelines as far as analyzing deals? What types of homes do you want from potential wholesalers, bird dogs, people bringing you deals? What do you expect to see from them?
Well, if a wholesaler is bringing a house to me, I'm looking to see if I can make money on the back end. Say the house has got a value of $40,000. I know because of the area and been doing it so long, I got a feel for what the house will bring on the final sale, and the guy wants $30,000 for it. That's not a deal for me. I have to be down about 50% of the value of what I think I could sell it at, minus my repair expenses. So on a $40,000 deal, I probably got to be down in the $15,000 range to purchase a property.
Now, do you have guys in our market actually bringing you deals like that, or are you finding that you have to scout most of these yourself at this point?
There are some guys who can bring deals like that to me. A lot of the wholesalers are too greedy, and they just can't get the prices where they need to be, or they're just not, they're not buying the houses right on their end, and they're hoping to find a inexperienced person to come along and say, hey, I'll take that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I call that the hot potato deal. Just pass it off real quick, and then the next person gets chumped, unfortunately.
Exactly.
Roosevelt has the best saying with that. Pigs get fed and hogs get slaughtered, so don't be greedy out there. You want to do volume deals if you're a wholesaler. That's my opinion, personally.
I agree.
Great.
But I also do volume on my end in the turnkey investment. I think that's the way to go, too, because I'm sure I could get a little bit more for my houses, but I'd rather turn them than sit on them and wait.
How's it feel at this point? You know, you've been around Cleveland Market forever. Like I said, everybody knows you, but you're the go-to guy. I mean, when we have deals, we get them rehabbed. We place tenants. Rather than calling an agent, we call Emmerich. You know, Emmerich's going to sell this, and then, you know, you get your piece of the action. How's that feel at this point? You run this market over here.
It feels pretty good, Mike.
I bet. Very humble about it, too. You know, I've never heard you brag once. Where do you see your goals at the end of this year, though? I mean, we're at, you know, 40-plus properties. We have about 5 months left. What are we going to do? How many properties are we going to move?
I don't think it's unrealistic to do another 40 by the end of the
year. By the end of the year? That's insane. Well done.
Thank you.
So what are you going to do to move another 40? Are we following the same routine? Are we looking to market more? Are we going to put more money into that? Or
we're looking to acquire more property, rehab them quicker, and get them out there for resale.
All right. Now, are you scouting new buyers, or do we have the same team in place that's just going to continue to buy them off of you?
Right now, it's the same team. They're buying really aggressive, and there's some other players out there who've tried to get in there, but the team we got right now just snaps them up before anybody else does. So we're in a sweet spot right now, and we're just got to ride the wave.
See, now that's a good problem to have, and I want to touch base on that. In the Cleveland market, you know, everybody complains about Cleveland. It's horrible here. You know, the markets are down, yada, yada. And yet you are making, I mean, I don't even know, you're doing very well. I know that. So, and you have people in line to buy your properties. Why are other people complaining about this and they're not moving any deals and you are just absolutely killing it right now?
Greed.
That's it. All right. So they're just overpricing their deals and not getting any bites.
That's probably partially one of the main reasons. I mean, everybody could probably get a lot more for their properties that come through me, but, you know, we turn them a lot quicker, though.
Excellent. So then the plan for, we're talking about doing almost 100 houses this year before it's over. Have you set your goals for next year, and what do you have in mind for that?
Well, I haven't set the goals for next year yet. I want to see how this year plays out, and I would like to even do more next year. I think all my team around me that's helping me come to this point, I think they also want to excel through next year and do even more.
How do you plan that out then? You're obviously a, you know, house-turning machine over here. Properties moving left and right. How do you set your goals for the year? Because I know you got to have a plan in place. And then explain to us how you do yours. And then how can someone set their goals to get into real estate and just start flipping as many houses as you do?
Well, I set my goals at the end of last year to only do about 20 this year. But halfway through the year, I had already exceeded that. So I pushed my goals up to a little bit higher, and hopefully I'll exceed those goals by the end of the year. And for the new guy coming in, they got to do it the same way. Reevaluate what their objective is about halfway through the year, see where they're at, see what they have done wrong, see what there's going right, and keep repeating what's doing right.
Just keep tweaking it till they get it.
That's right.
Excellent. And I'm glad you said that too, because I had actually set the bar last November. I did all my goals for this year, and I said, I'm going to do 10 flips this year. And, you know, I'm coming from a space where I do 4 to 5 a year, so 10 was a huge number to me. And I think in April, I'd already hit 10. I'm currently at 15, so I set the bar at 20. And a lot of that's just being able to, you know, really hanging out with you and just learning from the great Emmerich Herbst over here, which, you know, I'm very thankful for. I mean, it's all about goal setting and just sticking to it. Do you personally carry your goals with you?
Carry them with me to
like daily. Do you view your goals like me? I put it in my phone and I look at it every other day. And that's what keeps me on track, as crazy as that sounds. I didn't know if you did something like that, or you just write it down and you know what it is.
No, I don't. But I just keep track of your numbers and I try to outpace you.
Well, you definitely have me beat. And thank you. Thank you. Well, it has been an absolute pleasure having you in the studio tonight. I appreciate you coming in. For all the listeners out there that want to learn more or network with you, where can people find you at?
I'm on Twitter at Landlord331. I'm on Facebook at Cleveland Turnkey Investments. You can like that page. Or my website at ExtremeCashflowProperties.com.
That's awesome. I'm going to put all that in the show notes so the listeners can get a hold of you. Emmerich, thanks very much for being in here.
Hey, Mike, thank you for having me.
I'm going to have you back soon.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks. All right, everybody, thanks for listening in today. For more tips on real estate investing and creating streams of passive income, stop by michaelalder.com or connect with me on Twitter at michaelalder34, or you can find me on Facebook. All right, everybody, thanks, and let's take action today.